Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 360. Sportsnet.ca/590. And Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
3 o'clock hour. What's happening? Greg Brady, Andrew Walker. We're called Brady and Walker for a very specific reason, and I think I just gave it. So Winnipeg gone. Ottawa may soon be. The Jets and Sens. Nice stories. The Jets were so lovable. I saw that the fan base of the Jets got given the third star last night after the game. Sweet. So they're a combined 1-7. And the Habs, we knew would be good. And the Canucks, believe it or not, they're not done yet, but they're a mild success. A lot more points than last year. Better feeling, development of some younger players, the Verbata signing worked out. But what are the Calgary Flames, who can knock out the Vancouver Canucks? No matter what age you are, you have a Calgary Flames playoff run after moving from Atlanta. Sweet uniforms in Atlanta, though, you got to admit. I love that, eh? They made the semis in 1981 against the Minnesota North Stars, and I totally remember that. Kent Nielsen was one of my favorite players when I was 10. A shock defeat of Edmonton in 1986. We didn't stay up to see that game. It might not even have been on, but the Steve Smith goal, we're all talking about it in ninth grade that morning at Medway High School. A dominant run in 89 and one of the most shocking defeats in 1990 that the LA Kings and Gretzky knocked them out. And we all remember 04. It's etched in our memory. Great fans, great support. Since then, it's been tough. 5 straight years out of the playoffs. 4 straight first-round exits after the lockout. And they played some pretty good teams in that stretch. An Anaheim Ducks team that went far. A Red Wings team that was ready to go far in 07. But they have a great opportunity here. They are poised for this opportunity. We will find out at 10 o'clock on CBC. Is this the night?
Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 360. Sportsnet.ca/590. And Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This is your night, Calgary.
It is 2004 all
over. It really
again.
Is.
What do you know?
Yeah.
It is Brady and Walker at 3 o'clock hour. Thanks for finding us. Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Coast to Coast Sportsnet 360, including in the city of Calgary and in the city of Vancouver, where their team tries to stay alive tonight. I don't know what to think quite yet of this Calgary Flames team, because we know the Montreal Canadiens have as good a chance as any to win the East. We know the Jets are done. We know the Sens are done. And it sure looks like the Vancouver Canucks are done. We just kind of discussed it with Eric Francis. And you know, is this the night? It would really, really, really surprise me if Vancouver makes a series out of this still. They just look defeated. More defeated than any other team left in the postseason.
Pittsburgh looks pretty finished. As finished as Vancouver does.
Pittsburgh's finding themselves in one-goal games
sorry,
every
though.
Night.
If you
well,
told
now, yeah, now they do.
And it's the opposition. It's like, you're not going to beat Henrik Lundqvist 3 games in a row.
Yes, so
okay, but if you told me pick one team down 3-1, but then you like their chances better.
I mean just mentally. Like
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tampa may look the same way at the end of tonight's game in Detroit. But
what I wonder about with Calgary, though, is because I threw out this tweet the other day, and maybe I got to overthink it. Because, like, I said, the Canucks look done. Flames are going to the second round. And now, like, once you get past the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, it's all about momentum. Anybody can beat anybody. All you got to do is get some saves, right? And that's what happened in 2004. And are the Flames one of those teams in the final eight that, sure, they can go to the Cup final? I think they are, until I look at that Ducks team.
Oh, but I'd love to see them. I'd love to see them threaten Anaheim. I'd
but
love
you know
to
what?
See them.
You
I'd obviously
what,
love
though?
To see them beat them, and I'd love to see them threaten them at the very least.
The Calgary Flames are in the same conference as the Ducks. The last time they won at the Pond, Rhett Werner was still wearing a Flames jersey. 2006.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't won in Anaheim in like 20 games.
When you look at...
That's hard to do.
If someone comes up to you on the street and says, like, let's say you see the game tonight, they win, they're in the second round, like we said, for the first time in 11 years, and they say, hey, you're that Walker guy, punch the other guy, and how, that's me, how did they do it? Because 18 months ago, you and I were sitting around kicking around preseason predictions in the first full season back, 13-14, and we're both, I mean, You know, our great little debate was, are the Flames 30th? Like, right. Locked in. Are they worse than Buffalo, worse than Florida? And you had a legit argument to say, and they're going for it. They were in Buffalo Sabres, Tim Murray. Hey, we're not going to be very good mode. That looked like what they wanted almost. And it hasn't, and this is a, you must be unbelievably shocked by this, the idea that they'd be one of the last eight teams in a really competitive season standing.
Oh yeah. And 2 years ago, I said, boy, this looks like a last place team. And to be fair, they finished 27th. Like,
right, and they got Sam Bennett for their troubles. I know. Yeah.
They were terrible. This year, yeah, I thought they would be in the conversation for a Connor McDavid ship.
Yeah, but the team's not that different.
It's totally shocking.
You've got a rookie in Gaudreau. You got Monahan in his second year, who was going to be better. You've added Mason Raymond. Okay, but generally speaking,
Raymond's a scratch. But I mean,
right, I know. I'm just telling you the players they've added.
Taylor's worked out. Weidman had a career year.
Yes.
Yuri Hudler had a career year. Like, guys, like, nobody knew who Josh Juris was a year ago. He scored 12 goals and is now playing on the shutdown line. Right? Joel Colburn, not a godsend. He had 7 goals in the regular season. But
he's been helpful.
But he's playing a regular shift.
Yeah.
It's
thank you for admitting that.
It is remarkable. Well, you still owe me $100, by the way, and I'll take it any time as now interest is accumulating.
How about a cashier's check?
How about just cash?
Okay, that seems reasonable.
I don't want to take anything away from Calgary. I don't know, because if you ask anybody, any Flames fan, they'll say, nope, it's 2004 all over again. It just feels the same. And it does. But I don't know if it is.
But was the expectation, this is magic, it's a miracle, it's not going to happen again? It was like, if even Vancouver after 11, it's like, wow, that was lousy. That really stunk to be up 2-0 in the final. We talked about that yesterday, but we're going to be really good next year. And they were. They won the President's Trophy. The lockout derailed things for a lot of good teams that year. It even impacted the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Lightning went from Stanley Cup to 30th 3 years later and got Steven Stamkos. We should all be so lucky. We should be so lucky in Toronto. But when Calgary came back after the lockout, nothing there, and they were scraping into the playoffs and getting beat.
The first year after the lockout, and everyone was high in Calgary because they were the defending Western Conference champions, they won their division and then got upset. Like the Anaheim Ducks team that beat them in 7, and then that Ducks team went on to lose to the Oilers in the conference final.
Right.
That was an upset. The Calgary Flames had home ice advantage in Game 7 in Round 1, and everyone thought, yeah, the Flames are just going to do their thing again and go on to win the West. They got upset in that Game 7 and were never really the same. Like, they never won the division again.
But when I look at a roster, and at this point, the promise was remarkable. Robin Brigier is 25. Familiar name to Toronto fans. Dion Phaneuf is 20 and lights out.
Jerome McGinley is a superstar still.
Yeah.
Mika Kiprusoff is a superstar still. Christian Husalius is getting 70 points.
Yeah, so a lot's breaking their way. They're I don't want to say they're the quieter story. I'm sure they look at Winnipeg and go, thank God the Jets are out. Now maybe people will notice we're up 3-1 in our series against another Canadian team, and we were the underdog, even though some people picked us. And as you know, Giordano gets knocked out. We would have done the show the next day and been like, that is devastating for their playoff chances.
They were doing it in Calgary,
too. Now should they sell? Should they sell like crazy at the deadline? Because they just lost Mark Giordano.
And they did sell Curtis Glencross.
And they sold Curtis Glencross.
Well, this is what I want to say about Calgary. Because I sound like I'm not convinced. And on one hand, I'm not. But I'll tell you what, I can get quickly convinced in the sense of, I think they're going to beat Vancouver tonight, move on to the second round. Then they'll get Anaheim in the second round. They haven't won in Anaheim in like 12 years. If they win a couple of games at Anaheim, I think the Calgary Flames might win the Stanley Cup. Right? So I can go from not impressed to completely, completely in. They just have to do that to prove it. Because the most impossible thing for the Flames right now is not, can we beat Tampa or can we beat St. Louis? It's, can you win at the Honda Center? They've never done that.
I've always been incredibly impressed with Bob Hartley. And I'm going to just say, I mean, his most disappointing playoff experience was probably coaching the Thrashers, and they were gone so fast in 4 games that 1 year against the Rangers. But I've covered him in playoff series. I've been utterly impressed by who he is. I do think that matchup, we don't always talk about coach versus coach in hockey matchups, but I am utterly impressed by Bob Hartley's playoff resume. You need help. You need a goalie. And I am like a lot of people, utterly so far unimpressed at Bruce Boudreau's playoff accomplishments. Can I factor that in and say, that's not why I would pick Calgary. I probably would have a tough time getting there and putting my money or your money on the Flames to beat the Ducks. But I like
really
their odds
team.
Better than if you reverse the coaches and gave Hartley to the Ducks and Boudreau to the Flames.
Important thing to remember, too. I think that people and players and coaches, I think you can change as you get older, as you mature, as you see the world in a different light. Bob Hartley won in Colorado. And then in the next few years when he was in Colorado, he developed a bit of a bad reputation, a bit of an ass.
Right, right.
Bob Hartley was a hard ass and didn't treat people very well. There's a reason that he was out of work for a long time
and go to Europe and
over in Switzerland.
Yeah.
It's because that was the MO on this guy, is that he didn't treat people very well. Well, now Bob Hartley's about as nice a guy as you can find. Like, he's completely changed his approach to caring about young players and being more of a mentor. But he didn't used to be that way. And credit to Jay Feaster at the time who brings him in. I think it's good evidence that, and I don't even want to take it back to, like, you know, Ray Rice things, but you can change as a person. You can.
One of the best things I'm noticing is, remember, Brian Burke came here about a year and a half ago when they were making their playoff run, the Leafs, during the little 48-game season they had. And he's like, you know, he makes his famous, sometimes you set the table and somebody else gets to eat the dinner, as in, this is why he's why there's been this unbelievable success. Great, you're a five seed and you're in a first round in the worst conference. I don't hear Jay Feaster doing that right now, and I do wonder now.
Well, you should follow Jay Feaster on Twitter.
You'd hear a lot of it then. But I don't hear a lot of crowing from a GM who's already won a Stanley Cup, and you might say, hey, that's really easy to win because of the guys you got, because you got Hobby Bullen lands in your lap, and you got a really good Le Cavalier and St. Louis and all that stuff. But I'm not hearing it because he drafted Giordano and he drafted Brody.
No, he didn't.
Did he not draft Giordano?
He drafted TJ Brody. No, Giordano is a free agent.
Okay, free agent signing.
By Daryl Sutter. That goes back a long time.
How much? Okay, just tell me, how much before Feaster was there?
Quite a few years.
But he was playing
quite
junior.
Quite a few years.
I called his games in junior until at least 05, so it couldn't have been that long.
Well, it was before Jay Feaster.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I asked how many years there were. Lots of MLB talk coming up right now. You see this guy all the time on MLB Network, Channel 415 on Rogers. And, of course, great Twitter bio picture with Joe Torre. Paul Severino joins us now on Brady and Walker. Thanks for spending some time with us today. We really appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Thanks so much.
We'll talk about let's leave the Jays for right now. We're looking at the AL, and we're looking at some trends that are happening. It's a bunched up AL East. It's a bunched up AL Central, except for two teams. Is there anything that is surprising about Detroit's 11-4 record, or even the defending AL champs, Kansas City's 11-4 record?
I don't know if either one of those two are more surprising. It's probably the Royals, and it's more so that I don't know why I was one of those same people that did it, but it seemed like a lot of people kind of shortchanged them. I mean, you know, most of the time, 95% of the time, a team that's basically 90 feet away from tying Game 7 of the World Series in the bottom of the ninth inning, you'd think that they're probably going to be halfway decent the following year. And granted, we're 2 weeks into this thing, but a lot of people said, you know, the White Sox reloaded. They had a busy offseason, a lot of improvements that everybody seemed to like. The Tigers are the Tigers, despite the fact that Scherzer's not back. Porcello's gone, but they made some additions. Shane Green's been good for him. Simon's been good for him. Price obviously wasn't good last night, but big picture, you probably like David Price on your team.
Yeah.
The Sports Illustrated picked the Indians to win the division, so it was almost like everybody was looking past the Royals. So, you know, good for them for kind of sticking it up everybody's nose a little bit and saying, hey, don't forget about us. I mean, we are representing the American League in the World Series last year. You know, it's been a good squad, fun to watch. I mean, they've obviously been in a few little tussles, whether it be with the White Sox, who they're playing tonight, or whether it be with the A's over the weekend. It's a spirited bunch, I think we can put it
We didn't
way.
See it coming, because Brett Laurie played with such little emotion while he was
right,
here for
right.
those. Yes, he was such a calm young
up,
man,
I
Paul.
Think. He's, yeah, he's not... always plays up tight. He's very calm.
Yeah, loosen up a little bit. Let that collar go. Yeah.
Did you look past the Royals? Because, I mean, we did. We wouldn't blame you if you did. They didn't hit home runs. They didn't walk.
Yep.
And they should have lost the wild card game, and yet here they are.
And Shields is gone. You know, if you want to put all that together and then look forward to 2015, and Shields was gone, and Shields meant a lot to that team. And I know that when The trade was made, the Shields and Davis for Myers deal a couple of years back. There were some people saying, how could you trade your top prospect to this and that and the other? And it's like, you know what? If you don't take a chance, you're never going to get to where you want to be. I mean, you had to take that chance. And look, again, 90 feet away from winning a World Series, did they accomplish their ultimate goal? Probably not. But you know what? They got a heck of a lot closer with James Shields than they may have gotten with Will Myers over the past 2 years.
And just to
I would say yes. I overlooked them for sure. I think I had them. I'm actually looking at my predictions right now. I mean, these are always horrible anyway, but I picked them fourth in the Central. And I should have made a note here, but that is a bunched up Central, so I didn't think that they were necessarily a fourth place team. 25.
I'd say that's average, though, Paul. A lot of people like the White Sox and what they did in the offseason and had them third, and some had them second. I think that's average, though, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking that the top four teams, White Sox, Indians, Tigers, Royals, by the end of the year, or at least what I was thinking in late March, was that it's probably going to be the difference of, you know, 6, 7, 8 games. Probably the same thing in the AL East, if I had to make a pick. That division's probably a four-team race that's all pretty bunched together. I'm not going to be surprised if those are two exciting divisions when it's all said and done.
It's interesting you bring up the, you know, you got to take a chance or you're never going to get to where you want to be. Because I think we have this debate, you know, here on our show and on the city too. Now, there'll be some people that say, hey, you know, flags fly forever and you need to do whatever you can to get to the top of the mountain, not near the top. And I kind of go the other way. Like Kansas City, yeah, they didn't win last year, but all of a sudden, the Royals are relevant again, just like the Pirates are relevant again. And I think people in Toronto should want to get to that step first here. Like, people want Anthopoulos sometimes to go, you know, all or nothing and build everything for a year. But, I mean, don't you want to be on the radar first sometimes?
You do, and I think that's one of the reasons why I think it was Jose Bautista got pretty upset last year, right? When they were quiet around the deadline, they were playing some good baseball. The Yankees were kind of banged up. The Red Sox were having a down year. The Rays were having a down year. I mean, you go back the last 15 years, 10, 15 years. I mean, generally speaking, it's been a three-horse race in that division. I mean, you know, maybe a couple of years ago it was the Orioles, but for a team like the Jays, I remember talking about this last August. When deals could still have been made to improve your club, and it was just like, there may not be a lot of years like this. Fortunately or unfortunately, I guess, from the Blue Jays' perspective, unfortunately, that you can kind of make a run. You know, you're in it around this time of year. The teams that are usually there are banged up, not playing well. It's a division that can be had. I mean, but they did kind of go for it. I mean, was it a smart move? I may not have been on board with it, but I'm not a GM. The R.A. Dickey move. I mean, you're going to invest so much in a knuckleballer, that's a risk. I mean, I don't know if James Shields is necessarily the same risk for the Kansas City Royals as R.A. Dickey was for the Blue Jays. But, you know, again, the offense is not the problem with the Blue Jays.
And at the same,
it hasn't been for years. They're a lot of fun to watch. I mean, has that Encarnacion home run landed yet from the other night? did it break a window outside your studio?
Still going.
My goodness. Unreal. So, you know, there are some chances I think you can take and others maybe you don't take. And, look, Stroman going down for a while was not a help. But, you know, maybe the guys like Norris and Sanchez, the youngsters, can kind of step up. What was it? Something that they don't have. I shouldn't have brought it up because I don't know the answer. They don't have a starting pitcher or a pitcher between the ages of 25 and 35 on this team or
right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Some weird anomaly where it's either, you know, really elder statesmen or really young kids. Something strange.
Well, but there's this whole thing. You mentioned the Bautista comments and something I always thought. Like, Jose Bautista's in his prime and he wants to win. Now, he can't list you and shouldn't care about the Toronto Blue Jays' list of up-and-coming prospects. And fans, too. Like, I felt like fans at the time, because they were right in the hunt, I felt like they wanted Aaron Sanchez traded for Chase Headley, which is, you know, which is a stupid move, but it's all for 1 year. And at the same time, I understand as your GM saying, well, you know, why would we do that? We want to be relevant for a long time, not for 3 months.
Yeah, no, I understand that too. I mean, right now there aren't many teams who are in that, 5-year rebuild the Astros might have been that last team. Maybe the Braves are that last team that are kind of breaking it all down to build it all back up for a solid five-year window. I mean, there's just so much parity in the game right now. I mean, the two teams made it to the World Series last year. Neither one of them got to 90 wins.
Yeah.
I mean, you go back to the early 2000s. It was the Yankees and the Red Sox to talk about the AL East again. Those two teams, it was like, all right, you're breaking camp. You're like, all right, which one of these teams is going to win 98 to 100? And it was like every year. If you didn't have a team that could win 96 games, you weren't in the race. Now it's a completely different story with the second wild card. You can get to 86, 88 wins and get to that the wild card game the way the Royals did last year, the way the Giants did last year. Win that one game. If your ace happens to line up, good for you. If not, you grind it out, you get a win. All right, you kind of survive in advance, but that's what makes the trade deadline at July 31st, you know, maybe a little bit too early because so many teams are still in it. And you know, that's why I would think maybe you move that back a couple of weeks, get more teams to kind of fold up the tents a little bit before making some moves, because I think July 31st with so many teams in the races, it might be just a little bit too early.
Percentage-wise, you're right. It's way earlier than the NHL trade deadline, than the NBA trade deadline, where you're three-quarters, sometimes 80% of the way through the season, and you know what, you sort of know what you are and you know what you're not, and you still want, hey, baseball teams still want fans to keep coming. September, there's always an attendance drop-off for the teams that are done. School's back in, people are, they got busy lives. I want to ask you about Josh Hamilton, I really do, and how you think. I know you guys talk a lot about it on MLB Network, and how it all gets resolved, it's almost a lose-lose for everybody. I've talked about it with a lot of people. It's almost more fascinating than the A-Rod thing, Paul, because it involves addiction, and everyone has different concepts of the empathy level you feel and how much of it is chemical and how much of it is some people can make the good decisions and some people can't. And I see this from the Angels' perspective. And I also have met Josh Hamilton, and I who wouldn't want this to end well for him also. So it's right. It's a real conundrum.
Yeah, it is. And honestly, I don't know how it's going to end with the Angels. You know, for them, you go back to his free agency and just the talent on the field. I think 30 teams would sign up for it tomorrow. I mean, he's the kind of guy, sure, he's hot and cold from time to time. But when he's hot, I mean, it's a 2 or 3 week stretch, and it's just, you know, the team's on his back, and he's just, you know, hitting 425 for 3 weeks with, you know, 11 home runs. I mean, he's just out of control. So I think from that perspective, any of the 30 teams would want to have that guy. But again, there's obviously that other part of what Josh Hamilton is and who he is, and I do not know him. I have never met him. And I am not, again, fortunately, I've not been around folks with addiction. There was anything in my family for me to totally comment on it. But all I can really say is, you know, the baseball stuff, I guess it will work itself out. The people who are much higher on the food chain than me will make those decisions, whether he goes back to the Angels in whatever role. If they decide, you know, I don't even know if this is going to happen, but if they send him down to the minor leagues and figure out a way to just pay him the rest of the way, or if they just cut him and pay him the rest of the way, or if they welcome him back to the big club and pay him the rest of the way, I don't know how that's going to shake out. But, you know, looking at it from the other perspective, you know, baseball player or not, the guy's a husband, the guy's a father. He's someone's son, he's someone's brother, or whatever the case is. You really hope that he can get his life on track, and that's not just because he's a baseball player. I mean, anybody who's a family man, the way that Josh Hamilton is, you hope that they can get back on the straight and narrow, and you know, hopefully provide a good home for the kids and for the wife, and the family life is straightened out and everything else. And I think that's most important. If he can get that back on track, that's probably the biggest priority. In terms of the baseball thing, I honestly don't know how it shakes out.
No, it's a mystery for all of us. But
I don't know if everybody knows exactly what really happened either.
Yeah.
You know, how much was done or not done or whatever. That's just it's a whole other ball of wax.
Paul Severino from MLB Network. Great pleasure having you on today. We miss, you know who we miss is Mark DeRosa up here. We want him back. We may make a trade with Sportsnet. I know you can't trade picks.
On the field or off?
Off. Both, yeah. We know. Yes, both. Either. The Jays could use him in their room, and we could use him on
Friday,
the air.
But he might be wanting to work on the weekends, too. I mean, he's got the Monday through Friday gig in the morning. But, hey, you know, Saturday, Sunday, he's all yours.
I never thought of that. I mean, we haven't had Brian Kenny on since we started talking about pitching wins, and he hung up on us. We think things were being thrown in the background. There were chairs and furniture.
I appreciate the sabermetrics as much as the next guy, but I don't live and die by the stuff. I appreciate it, but I don't love it.
Great having you on, Paul. Thanks for this. Have a great night.
You got it. Good to talk with you guys.
There's Paul Severino. You can follow him at Severino MLB. The Josh Hamilton thing to me is really fascinating because it's like we all talk about, hey, would you want that guy in your room? You're really convicted on Evander Kane. I'm less so. There are guys I've heard of, I know, in the NHL or MLB or NBA, and you go, stay as far away from that guy. The J.R. Smith, stay as far away from that guy as you possibly can. And I don't know how.
But I don't know how much of it has to do with addiction.
But if the Angels didn't owe him a whack of money, they're more likely, is this A-Rod where you're like, hey, he's a bad guy, and boy, we just can't have that, and he cheated, and you're like, yeah, you were fine with Jason Giambi, and you were fine with Andy Pettit, you just don't want to pay him all this money and all these bonuses. When Hamilton's kind of the same way with the Angels right now. The contract's going to look pretty ugly in 4 years, let alone in two.
Right, but I think it's been, again, I'm kind of with Paul. I don't know Josh Hamilton, and I haven't spent time around him, or I'm not friends with people that have spent time around him. It's pretty well documented. Contract aside, A-Rod's, maybe he's turned a new leaf this year. That's what you hear. But A-Rod's just kind of a bad guy.
Right.
Right? I don't know if Josh Hamilton's a bad guy. I know there's bad guys in the NHL that you don't want around your youth and your team. That doesn't mean
that's the next
doesn't
step.
Mean they're drunks, doesn't mean they're...
You know NHL players, and if you said who do you like hanging out with, and who can you not stand to sit beside on a flight, and they'll give you names. They'll all give you names.
Of course.
Yeah. I don't know where it's at with, and just because you'll get these people come out of the woodwork on the Angels thing. If the Angels cut Josh Hamilton, what you'll get in some cases is advocates going, they're anti, they don't understand what it, no, you don't owe people chance after chance after chance within your company. And you can only plead that you have a chemical dependency to gamble, to sex addiction, gambling addiction, alcohol addiction,
but
so many times.
But there's also a baseball element, right? Like,
there's
what
a huge
did,
baseball
did we
element.
Applaud Tampa Bay for not having Josh Hamilton on their roster, and then he ends up being maybe the best player in the game in Texas, right?
I know. Yeah, and that's a pretty smart GM that ended up deciding. And everybody just decides enough's enough at some point in time, yeah. You know? So we saw this before we do what to watch, what to avoid. Greg Hardy yesterday, late after we were off the air, got suspended 10 games by the NFL. So he signed with the Dallas Cowboys, one-year deal, lots of incentives. The interesting thing here is, so conduct detrimental to the league. What basically happened is he had an assault case against his girlfriend. He was convicted. He appealed the case. Then they couldn't find his accuser and find the ex-girlfriend again. And the constant thought is that she was paid off and departed. Regardless of what you think about that, he was at first convicted of a domestic assault. And for all the people that were destroying Roger Goodell, and he deserved a lot of harsh criticism with the two-game suspension of Ray Rice.
Sure.
But I heard nothing yesterday because this is the right thing to do. He was suspended almost all of last season with Jacksonville, and he gets 10 games this year, and this is...
So he's not getting credit.
Right. It's sort of iron fist stuff, but all the people that wanted Roger Goodell, like, again, put on a spit with an apple in his mouth, I don't hear... Where are they in the last 24 hours? Isn't this the right thing? Did people want more than 10 games?
I think because Greg Hardy missed a calendar season, and most people couldn't tell you he did sign with Dallas, and then... getting another 10 games, it's what have you done for me lately? And he's so out of sight and out of mind that most of these outrage police, and not saying you shouldn't be outraged at some of this stuff, they would have trouble telling you what position Greg Hardy plays.
Right, yeah. So,
right, like we're he's been gone for a long time now.
An important player in Carolina when they made the playoffs, though. But this is all fascinating because the Rice thing had a video. And everybody saw the video, and everybody had an opinion of the video, and everybody said the biggest problem I had was two things. One, Ray Rice has probably done this 100 times. I don't know that. And then the whole criticism of Jhené Rice, who's married him and is the mother of a little boy, and she says, I'm like just criticizing her, saying, oh, she's staying for the money or she's not strong enough to go and leave. You don't know what's going on. You don't know how many times it happened. You don't know what's going on with him. We never know what's inside other relationships except our own. We don't.
But there, and you wonder, I mean, again, I think that I believe in second chances, of course. My theory as to why Ray Rice is not playing again is not because he doesn't deserve a second chance. It's because I just don't think he's a very good player anymore.
Yeah.
The Greg Hardy stuff, it's weird to say at what line do you serve your punishment. Like if you serve a lengthy, Michael Vick served a lengthy prison sentence. So, okay, he's out. Is his debt to society paid? It doesn't make what Greg Hardy did right, of course, but a whole season and now another 10 games and X amount of lost money. When are we going to let him resume his career?
100%. Let's do what to watch, what to avoid on television tonight.
Brady and Walker want to help you plan your night of TV watching this evening.
I don't remember asking you a thing.
What you should tune into and avoid like a modern-day plague.
Well, allow me to retort.
All right, what to watch, what to avoid. I'm watching quite a bit of hockey tonight, but I will be sure to watch on Sportsnet the Islanders and Capitals tonight. Series is tied at 2. This is a big game 5. It sounds like former Toronto Maple Leaf Mikhail Grabowski will make his playoff debut
for
the Islanders.
Well, now I know who's going to win the game.
Oh, right. Hey, if you look at the possession numbers, he's had a rough season in the sense of numerous injuries. He's not been able to stay healthy. We'll see what new wrinkle he adds to the Islanders tonight on the road. Series tied 2-2.
Hasn't played with the same passion since the Kostitsyn brothers left the league, really, when you think about it. Same thing with me. Golden State goes on the road, and that's intriguing. New Orleans really pushed them in game 2. So game 3 goes tonight, GSW at the Pelicans. I'd like to see that extend out a little bit, and yet I love Golden State. I have a crush on how they play.
They're fun. Yeah.
Tonight, I won't watch House Hunters. It's on HGTV. A couple disagree on style when they search for a home on the water in Sarasota, Florida. I wonder who wins the argument at the end of the day. Have you ever, like, honestly, what do you know a scenario where a man gets to pick the house? My wife and I liked our house equally, so we're really happy, and we like our neighbors equally, and we're equal partners.
I don't think anybody gets to pick the house.
Well, there's a little more veto power, right? A little bit more. I know exactly how this episode's going to go. You and I should buy a property together.
No, absolutely not. I'm avoiding is the latest lip sync battle, which includes Mike Tyson tonight.
I saw that.
10 p.m. on Spike. He faces Terry Crews. That's terrible.
I saw that. Not Tom Cruise. Totally, and it's different spelling, too.
Yeah. It is Brady and Walker. More to come.
Coming up, Clark Gillies, Hockey Hall of Famer, on what could happen in Washington tonight. His Islanders came back to earth a little bit in Game 4. John Tavares also uttering what could be deemed a threat. We'll talk to Jethro about that as well. It's Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand, absolutely free. Back to Brady and Walker on TV at Sportsnet 360, online at sportsnet.ca/590, and on your radio at Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Four o'clock's on the way. Don't need to tell you that. By the way, Jays, Orioles tonight. Jays go for the sweep. Danny Valencia will play left field. They'll slide Kevin Pillar over to right, but no Jose Bautista again tonight. And Josh Donaldson will bat third. Devin Travis stays in that two hole. He's looked just fine as a number two hitter anywhere with the power he showed.
This is what happens. I in the 2 o'clock hour, I talk about how good Devin Travis has been and how impressed and what could go wrong. Cue the 0-for-50. That's what generally happens. So
games tonight. Can we let's run down Tampa, Detroit, CBC, 7 o'clock. Islanders, Washington. We'll dive into that one coming up in about an hour and 15 as well. Chicago, Nashville on Sportsnet. So is the Islanders, Washington, and then the late CBC game is Calgary, Vancouver. Jays slide over to Sportsnet One. Now you know what I know you accused me of having a bunch of favorite teams, but the Islanders, I was a massive fan, so this is awfully exciting for me. We had Bob Boren on. We've had Mike Bossy on before. It's very, very exciting. Are you quite skeptical of my Islanders fandom?
You have hated
the Flyers.
You have like 80 favorite teams. So
I'm not sure
it doesn't surprise me. Listen, I have a soft spot for the Islanders too. So
and you went to the game three
I did, yeah.
Sunday, very
so publicized. I'll tell you a couple stories about game three. So this is maybe the most tightly contested, fascinating series out there. The Islanders, yeah. Capitals going to game five tonight in Washington. So I go down to Nassau Coliseum for game three. Tavares scores in overtime. They win. I want to see a game there. And it was fantastic. Now, so Clark Gillies is going to join us right now, four-time Stanley Cup champion with the Islanders. Now, I was told, Clark, that generally speaking, you're up in a type of suite going 8-10 games a year. But during the playoffs, and I saw you on the video scoreboard, you're a man of the people. You're in the crowd. You're kissing babies and shaking hands.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were doing, Bobby Neisser and I were doing a little PR, certainly not related to the team. We just wanted to, you know, having been players and been on the ice in that situation, we wanted to see what it was like to experience the fan situation. And we got there at 12 o'clock game. We got there 9:45 with a bunch of guys tailgating. We we went through the whole thing. It was such a blast. And, you know, we ended up signing a lot of autographs and things of that nature. But you know what? It was just an amazing day. And certainly the outcome was worth everything, every bit of effort. But I'll tell you what, it's exhausting being a fan.
It is, especially there. I couldn't get over it. All the chants and the yes, yes, yes after the goals, that's a relatively new thing. But people were going crazy. And what an amazing send-off to a barn that I'm sure you have mixed feelings about it being closed.
Well, I don't, there's no question about it. It's, you know, we walked out, we said, you know, this is a little somewhat bittersweet because, you know, listen, we're all pulling for them. Hopefully they go all the way to the end. And the Cinderella story would be that we sip from the cup before it leaves, the Coliseum. But, even with that all being said, if they do win the cup, you know, it's going to be like, am I happy? Am I sad? Because they're not going to be here next year to try and do it again. But, I guess the silver lining is they're not moving to Kansas City or Quebec City. They're going to be here in Brooklyn, in New York. So we'll still have the team. It'll be a little harder to get there, of course, but we'll still have.
Yeah, and that's we've witnessed it, and you've witnessed it. You know how it feels when Winnipeg goes to Phoenix or Quebec goes to Colorado. But listen, there are diehard fans everywhere hoping to keep the Phoenix Coyotes. There were diehard Atlanta Thrashers fans devastated a few years ago who'd go to 20-30 games a year. So you're right; it's a little bit further, and it felt like part of the community. And you referenced it with the tailgating, like. That arena's got the big enough parking lot where you don't see that parking lot in 25 other NHL rinks because the arenas are so constricted or they're downtown or they're part of a shopping complex. It's so unique what Nassau County is.
Yeah. Well, we do have that advantage. There's no question about it. And there were people there. We got there a couple hours before the game. There were people there that was on Tuesday night. They got there at noon, for God's sake. But it does... It's very good for that situation, which I respect, of course. But, Barclays Center will be very hard to tailgate. They don't let you park in the street there, so it's difficult. But, yeah, it's very exciting. I'll tell you what, I won't be going to the game six on Saturday night. It's my wife's birthday, and we're having a party with a few family and friends over, but we'll certainly try and sneak a TV on to watch most.
So you could have got her tickets for her birthday, but you thought that's not the smartest thing to do. I better not. That's the ninth most popular gift.
My wife didn't like watching hockey games when I played. I'm not sure if I can get her to go now.
So, hopefully, if you're not at game six, I mean, hopefully you get to see another series and keep the rink open for a little bit longer. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but. But God, if they get the Rangers in round two, can you put into words what that series would be like?
I've tried. We've talked about it. You know, not like you said, not trying to get too far ahead. But that would be the biggest sporting event in New York in probably a very, very long time. It's hard to put into words what the rivalry is between the Islanders and Rangers, and to be in a playoff situation like that. Forget about the regular season is bad enough. You put that into a playoff situation, and they better heighten security at the Coliseum and Madison Square Garden because it's hard to control these fans. They get into such a fever that anything could happen. But We're all talking about it. It would be one of the greatest things that's happened in this area in a long, long time, as I said. But you know, that all being said, we'll take it one game at a time and wait for it. Hopefully, it happens. I'm very excited about the possibility.
Two more wins. Clark Gillies, a Hockey Hall of Famer, joining us. So when I'm a little kid, I'm 43, and I'd watch your games, and I loved your team, and you guys would play the Rangers, and it was before you could see every game all the time, and so the playoffs would come, and the Rangers fans would do that chant, and I remember being 8 going, "Dad, what are they saying?" And of course they're yelling, "Pot Van sucks,"
and they still do it.
Like when you're on the bench as a player, did you notice it at first, and you're like, tap the shoulder of the guy next to you, you're like, well, better him than me, I guess. What you must have heard it and noticed it, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, to this day, as you know, they still find time to yell at the Garden, and you know, it's. I don't know how Denny reacts to it. You know, I mean, he's broadcasting many games there with visiting keys and stuff, and they can't wait to yell it when he's in the building, but. You know, that whole thing was unfortunate with what helped Alf Nielsen back in the 79 playoffs. But, you know, I've heard Alfie talk to Denny about it. And if you talk to Alfie, he said that, you know, he was going down and had already basically broke his ankle before Denny got there. But, you know, so there's not a whole lot of hard feelings between those two. But you'll never get a Ranger fan to believe that, that's for sure.
No, they watch it through different glasses. Yeah, we've noticed over the years the players that suck aren't generally the ones that get told they suck. They're the really good players, strangely enough. That's amazing. They don't not many fourth liners or sixth defensemen.
If he wasn't hurt, you know,
totally. Hey, enjoy what's been a really fun ride. We hope it's a successful Game 6. And yeah, as Andrew noted astutely, I'd love to see Islanders Rangers next round. Thanks for this today.
Well, guys, I appreciate it. It's good spending some time with you. Let's go Islanders. How about that?
There we go. Clark Gillies joining us on Brady and Walker, 1,060 games, the four cups, and an outstanding career in Ottawa, 67 when he was a junior player. People remember that, too, if they're a little older than us.
It's weird, though. I'm not sure. He was talking about the passionate, you know, rowdy, you never know what's going to happen, Islander fans. I don't really know what he means by that.
Well, you're cleaning up a little bit on the side of your cheek there. I mean, there's no fracture.
Man,
there's been an X-ray.
For those that didn't hear, so I go down to the game, right? Tavares scores in overtime, great moment, and I'm walking on the jam-packed concourse, like in a crowd of people, like you're going through, like, you know, the TTC subway line. So I'm shuffling along in an Islander shirt, by the way. Like I'm there. I'm not like cheering for the Capitals, and I get sucker punched.
I know.
By an Islanders fan.
By an Islanders fan.
For no reason other than that's how they celebrate wins. I don't know.
Like, we've been out, and only once I thought you were going to get hit, and you asked a gentleman in Detroit to move over a seat at Buffalo Wild Wings, and I thought this could all kick off if Andrew handles this the wrong way, and lo and behold, popped when I least expected.
Nobody believes me. Everyone's
believes
like, well,
no,
you, must
no,
have,
I believe
you must have had 10 beers and yelling at someone.
I got your
absolutely
back.
Absolutely not true.
Got your back. Let's do two more things before we wrap it up. All right, here we go. Two things we just couldn't spend a lot of time on during the show and really shouldn't, no matter what, if we want to have a good show. All right, I'm excited. I like rock biographies. I'm getting my copy. I'll lend it to you when I'm done. The latest hero of mine that will write an autobiography, John Oates from Hall & Oates. I mean, if Hall's not going to write a book, then Oates should write a book. I wouldn't read an Adam Oates autobiography. Maybe I would. So that'll be out in late 2016. I'll read it. You can borrow it. And I'll even try and get John to sign it. I'm so looking forward. I'm just fresh done the Billy Idol.
Well, you're about to see them seven times this year. So I'm sure they'll sign it at one of the concerts.
I hope they
do.
Did it in a minute.
This is a legitimate study. It's in Forbes magazine reporting on it. A new study shows how thinking less can enable faster learning. So it's perfect for people like you. Thinking less enables faster learning.
I think you complimented
just
me, actually.
Think about that for a little bit.
No. Why? Why will I learn more by thinking less? You guys, you said it was a legitimate study. It was in Forbes. Hans Gruber read Forbes before Die Hard.
I'm not a scientist. I don't know how to explain it.
I'm not. Or a magazine subscriber. You can get Forbes on a next issue,
conventional,
by the way.
Wisdom tells us if you want to learn something new, there's only one way to make it happen. Relentless grinding of the gears upstairs. But if the latest research is correct, it's the wrong way to learn.
Yeah.
I don't know what they mean by that.
Grinding gears upstairs better than grinding gears downstairs.
Sure enough.
Bob McCown is next. Think about that very little. We'll see you tomorrow at 1. Bye.